For those of you who were not here last week, just a quick review for those of you, or a quick update for those of you who were here, a quick review. We started last week a series called Seven Steps to Greatness. It's a series on values, core values actually, the values that undergird our ministry at Mahdi Community Church and that should undergird all of our lives, and you'll see why as we go. The term greatness threw some people off last week. We tried to explain it. We're not trying to be great in terms of here we are better than everybody else. That's not the idea. We're talking about true greatness here, God's kind of greatness. And you remember that Jesus spoke about the kind of greatness that he was intending for us, and it actually is very, very different than the kind of greatness that the world pursues. Nevertheless, God has placed a desire for greatness and significance in everybody's heart. Every one of us want to be more than just mediocre, more than just average. We want to be significant. We want to do something significant. We want our lives to count for something. That's a God-given desire, and this series is going to help us figure out how to get there. Values, you remember, are thoughts, ideals, and convictions that govern our actions and our reactions. They're not just a nice word or something we put on a chart. They're something that's the core of our being. Values are what we are willing to die for. They're that significant. And because they're that significant, it's what we are therefore eager to live for. It's like the motor that drives us in life. Ultimate values. And many times we don't know what our values are. We haven't stopped to consider them. But even if we can't write them down, everybody has values. And values, the values we do run by many times, are taking us in a direction that if we stop to think, we really don't want to go. And yet, therefore, we need to have examination of our values and correct our values and put the right values in place. That's what this series is about. The values we're going to examine over the next 7 weeks consider various sections of life. You can see them here or on the charts. Priorities, people, purpose, prayer, process, passion, and partnerships. These are various sections of our life. And we'll look at the values from Scripture that will help us achieve greatness in each of these areas of our life. And specifically in our congregation, in our church. The servant's acrostic for these values is going to lead us through those seven primary areas. Each of the values will further be unfolded in each service. Today we're going to start the series with the first value, and it's the most important step to greatness, the absolute starting block. You can't run the race to significance without this value in place, and it is simply seek God first. Seek God first. Now, before we begin to examine it this morning, will you pause with me and pray and ask the Lord Himself to be our teacher? Father, we really need You to speak to us today. We're about to look at issues that are absolutely central to our existence, both here and hereafter. Absolutely central to how we live our lives. Absolutely central to every single detail of our lives. It's that important. And we're not smart enough to figure that out in ourselves. So will You please come by Your Holy Spirit, unfold Your Word, teach us as You want to, and lead us in the way everlasting, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I read recently a story about two guys back in North America who apparently broke into a large department store. And they didn't steal anything, surprisingly. What they did, they were just up to some mischievous actions. They went into the store during the night, and instead of taking anything and instead of moving anything, all they did was they went and they switched the price tags on the merchandise. You can imagine the chaos. I mean, things that were worth $2 were now suddenly worth $200, and things that were worth $400 were on for $1.99. It was incredible. Now, the amazing thing about the story is that the next morning when the shop opened, it went for 2 hours cashing in sales before they realized there was a problem. Some people walked away with unbelievable bargains, and some people who unknowingly just swiped their credit card a month later got the bill and realized that for kitchen spatulas they'd spent $350. It was like, oh my goodness, who switched the price tags? I tell that story because when it comes to the issue of values, somebody has switched the price tags. Somebody has gone around in life and moved the value tags on us. And what we end up doing is we end up spending a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of money on things that really aren't worth much. While the things that are really, really valuable are on sale, but we pass them up. We miss them. The story is very true to life. Dear friends, if you and I want to experience true greatness, genuine greatness, the kind of greatness that Jesus talked about, then we must start by seeking God first. We must. We are not to make seeking God some distant, long-term, far-away objective or occasional thought. It's not even to be just in the top 10 of our priorities. It's not even to be number 2. It has to be number 1. Absolute top, nothing close to it. Why, you say? Is it just because the pastor said so? Is it just because mommy made me do it? Why should this be number 1 in our lives? Is there a reason for it? Yes, there is. Let me explain it to you. The reason we should have God, seeking God first, is number 1 in our lives is because the pursuit of full devotion to Christ and His cause is normal for every believer, resulting in fullness of life. Say that with me. The pursuit of full devotion to Christ and His cause is normal for every believer, resulting in fullness of life. You see, the devil's number one strategy throughout human history, beginning with our first parents, has been to get us to doubt the integrity of God. Has been to get us to have this sneaking suspicion that God is out to rip us off. He said to Adam and Eve, has God really said? Oh, no. The reason He said is because He wants to limit this. He doesn't want you to know that. And we have bit into that lie big time. We've got its juice all over our chin and its poison down in our hearts. We believe that to this day. You say, oh, no, I don't. Yes, you do, and so do I. It has infiltrated the very way we think. Deep down in our lives, we believe that if we really had God as number 1 in our lives, things would go worse than better. We have to believe that, because if we didn't believe it, if we really believed that things would go better, we'd have God as number 1 in our lives. The reason we don't seek God first in our lives is because we believed the devil's lie that things will be worse. God is out to rip us off. He's out to keep us down. He's out to make things worse. He's out to make our lives miserable. He's out to twist us into some religious mold that makes us who we don't want to be. That's what we believe. And it's a lie. It's a lie. If only we could understand God's intention for us. Because we have believed Satan's lie, we end up devoting ourselves to and pursuing anything and everything other than Christ. We will chase money. We will chase pleasure. We will pursue position and education and power and fame and anything else but Jesus. But dear friends, when a tsunami of death eventually washes over your life and mine, and it will, all of that stuff that we pursued, all of that stuff that was so important to us, all of the other things that were number 1 in our lives are going to be like a beautiful luxury home on the beach in Banda Aceh. It's going to be washed away. It's going to be gone with nothing left. Somebody has switched the price tags on us. And we haven't woken up to the fact yet. 2,000 years ago, to people just like you and me, although they were in a different culture and a different time, to people who were also longing for significance, wanting to make sure this life was somehow meaningful and satisfactory, who inside had the same desire for greatness as you do, to people just like that, Jesus said these words, "Seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. And all these things will be added to you as well," or given to you as well. Say that with me. Seek first God's kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. Seek God, what? First. Not second, not third, not tenth, not occasionally, not once a week at church. Seek God first. Absolutely first. Shortly after I came to faith in Christ, when I was a teenager, Somebody gave me a new Bible, and I start reading in Matthew, and I very quickly came to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And when I read this verse, it jumped off the page. It was like God reached into the depth of my soul and began to tug. And I realized, just a minute, this is different. This is a different way to live. It's demanding of something of me that is huge. And if I trace my life to date, it seems like at every major intersection of my life, every huge decision I've had to make, God always brings me back to this verse. Because the temptation to make my decisions based on my agenda, my desires, my goals, rather than His. And when I've done that, I've always run aground. When I've made it according to His plan for my life, I've always moved into fullness of life and blessing. I'll never forget the time I had to really wrestle this through. I was 19 years of age. I was backpacking through West Africa. I'd already been training with my father's business in Canada and in Germany, and I was doing well even as a young man, and I was quite excited about that. I took this leave of absence, was traveling, backpacking through West Africa, working with missionaries there. But while I was doing it, God had the audacity to interrupt my plans. He started to speak to me very forcefully about setting all that aside and pursuing full-time ministry. And I said, God, you're off your rocker. You got the wrong guy. You mixed up your signals here. It must be somebody else. And for 3 weeks, I battled with God. Believe me, I battled with God. There is no way I was doing this. No way. And after 3 weeks, God kept pressing on me. Dave, seek first my kingdom. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. All these other things that are important to you, let them go. I can give those to you. I want you to seek me first. It wasn't a pretty picture. But finally, after 3 weeks, I realized, you know what? I can't fight God anymore on this. And so I said, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me, Lord. I think you're making a mistake, but okay. In hindsight, I never ever ceased to thank God for staying with me through that 3 week battle, for pressing me to getting me to the place where I could experience what He had fashioned me for. I gave up what I thought I wanted and embraced what I wasn't sure of to find out that God was taking me to a place where He could fulfill my wildest dreams. You know, I've discovered in life that God often asks us to do something that we do not want to do in order to bring us and give us the life that we long to have. We're not smart enough to figure out all these things. Now, God called me to full-time ministry. He may not be calling you. He may be calling some of you to that, but He may not. He's calling some of you to business, some of you to education, some of you to diplomacy or some other area of work or ministry. God's calling each of us to different things. I don't know what He's calling you to, but whatever it is, dear friends, He may at times ask you for it. He may ask you the hard questions to give up something. Why does He do that? Why? Because God knows that if we hang on to anything, anything in life, if we hang on to it to the place where we're not willing to yield it when He asks, that very something, as precious as it is, even if it's what He fashioned us for, if we're hanging on to it above serving God, it can become an idol to us. It can become a god in His place. And God says, I will have no other gods before me. None. I am either God and Lord of all, or I'm not Lord at all. And the reason God wants to be number one in our lives is not because He has an ego problem. It's because He knows that if we have anything else before Him, we are the ones who are sabotaged. We are the ones who are set aside. We are the ones who can't enter into the fullness of life that He designed us for. And so He says, no more gods. Nothing else between you and me. And that's why God will often say, I want that. I want that. And it's often something that really hurts to give up. Sometimes, as soon as He knows that we give it up, He'll give it right back to us. He'll say, great, I just wanted to know that you'd let it go.